Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on the increasingly dangerous war for the free world. I'm very pleased to have with us to lead the program today and our discussion of this with an historical perspective in particular, syndicated columnist and featured guest here, Diana West. She is the author as well of her weekly columns, which you can find at dianawest.net, of two superb best-selling books, one Death of the Grown-Up, the other American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be with you.
I can't think of anyone better to discuss the sort of context in which we find ourselves, perhaps at the cusp of a new conflict in Europe, than you, given the incredible work that you've done in the course, among other things, of your writing of American Betrayal, to look at what happened 75 years ago yesterday when the precursor to Vladimir Putin's regime in the Kremlin engaged in a cynical partitioning of Poland, a free and sovereign and Western nation, in cahoots with the Nazi Germans. We talked a little bit about this last week in connection with the Nuremberg trials and the fact that the Russians got off scot-free on that. But remind us of what happened on that occasion 75 years ago and what it set in train.
Yes, well, it's a very important period of time to focus on. We start with August 23rd being the 75th anniversary of the Nazi-Soviet pact, whereby secretly, the Nazis and the Soviets divided Europe, Poland being a prime piece of this real estate. This was secret. Then on September 1st, 1939, you have the Nazi armies moving into Poland. Now, this was to be a pincer movement eventually, because on September 17th, 1939, you had the Red Army moving into Poland from the east. Now, this is a date that does not come easily to us. September 1st, 1939, we know that date. We know that as the beginning of the fighting in World War II. We know the Auden poem by the date itself, September 1st, 1939. September 17th, though, doesn't really resonate. And yet, everything that the Nazis did coming in from the western side of Poland, the Soviets did. The same war crimes, the same deportations, massive deportations of millions of people, the same killings. I mean, the same things happen. And of course, in 1940, we have the Soviet mass murder of something like 20,000 Polish officers at the Katyn Forest Massacre.
And I guess, Diana West, what makes this so momentous for us is not only what it unleashed in terms of World War II, but what it reminds us of when the West fails to understand the nature of the enemy and pretends that what it is about is somehow made all right because it might undergo a tactical shift, if you will, as the Soviets did when the Nazis turned on them in due course. And one of the people who is prominent in your extraordinary book, American Betrayal, for helping facilitate the sort of makeover of the Soviets and greatly supporting them when he served at the highest ranks of the Roosevelt administration, indeed lived in the White House for a number of years with Franklin Roosevelt, was Harry Hopkins. Tell us a little bit about Hopkins and the role he played in the betrayal of our country.
Well, Harry Hopkins was the second most powerful man in America for those war years, sometimes arguably the most important in many ways. Sometimes it seemed to be that he was the one making final decisions. Looking at the partition of Poland, as they call it, very antiseptically, between the Nazis and Soviets, we do see Hopkins, for example, at the time the Katyn massacres came to light in 1943, the Germans found the mass graves, the Nazi armies found the mass graves when they reoccupied or came to this part of Poland that had been occupied by the Soviets in 1940. He was ready, willing, and able to explain away this crime against humanity, as were our leaders, Churchill, Roosevelt. I mean, the effort here was to deny the culpability of the Soviet Union in the same crimes against humanity that the Nazis were engaged in. So when it wasn't so much that they didn't understand what the nature of Joseph Stalin was, it was there was a campaign to suppress this. And Hopkins was a leading member of this cadre in the American government, apologizing for Stalin, appeasing Stalin, bringing Stalin in as someone fit to sit on chairs with democratic leaders. I mean, I look at the iconic pictures now of Yalta and so on, and see Roosevelt and Churchill, democratically elected leaders, sitting with this dictator of blood, and you could just replace him with Hitler. It's the same thing, and this indeed was the effort on the part of communists in our government and the British government, fellow travelers, leftists, and so on, to whitewash Stalin. So this is sort of the setup.
And it translated into a tremendous amount of aid, and as you've documented in your book, Diana, even at the expense of the Allied war effort on the grounds that this was necessary to maintain the Eastern Front with the Nazis and keep Stalin in the war and so on. But I want to flash forward, Diana, because as we were sort of alluding to here, a small problem at the moment with Vladimir Putin. There's problems elsewhere in the world as well. And I just wonder, notably, there's this question of does President Obama have a strategy? He claimed that he did not yet vis-a-vis this Islamic State group. Michael Ledeen, one of our friends and colleagues, has written just recently that indeed the president does have a strategy. It is a strategy of, in the Middle East at least, bringing about Iranian hegemony in the region. And I wonder if that's true, and I think it's worth debating, but let's postulate for the purpose of this discussion that it might well be true that as good an explanation for what we've seen on the part of this administration towards the Iranians with their nuclear program and relieving them from sanctions and giving them back billions in aid and otherwise, you know, enabling their rehabilitation. The role played by Valerie Jarrett in the White House as a very senior and influential advisor strikes me as somewhat similar to that played by Hopkins during the FDR administration. Knowing what you do about them both, does that seem to be stretching it, or is that possibly correct?
No, I don't think it's stretching it at all. I do think that there are similarities. There are disturbing. It's always disturbing when an unconfirmed aide seems to have so much power that is becomes a problem of unconstitutionality, which is certainly what Hopkins' position was. It was an unconstitutional place of power that he occupied. Jarrett, you know, we know less about her her role. We certainly see her as an incredibly influential advisor who does seem to be calling the shots, it would appear. I would say, namely, that my first reaction is to, of course, applaud Michael for simply not putting down Obama's policy to ineptitude. This is something that conservatives tend to hammer home as a point of partisan politics, I think, to show how inept he is. I don't believe he's inept. I don't believe that this is a emptiness or, you know, he'd rather golf than govern. No, this is a policy, whether it is to establish Iranian hegemony. We can also look and see evidence that he is just establishing extreme jihad everywhere he goes, you know, whether it's Libya.
The Muslim Brotherhood, yes.
Yes, Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, it does seem to be a pattern that may go, or I would argue does go, beyond Iran.
It's about Sharia, in my estimation. Which brings me, lastly, and we don't have time to discuss this, but I did just want to mention it, that David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, yesterday pronounced that we are confronting an Islamist ideology that is at the root of the threats that we're facing. And yet, he insisted that it had nothing to do with Islam. Diana West, you've studied this closely, and I look forward to a further conversation with you about the absurdity of that position and the necessity of getting clear what is animating our enemies. You've done marvelously in trying to explicate that at your site, dianawest.net. I commend it to everyone, as well as, of course, your books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. Keep up the great work, my dear. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Steve Levine about energy, Russia, Iraq, and you. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.